passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We welcome you back, and we've had 3 hours of women's basketball and, of course, the Cal story. We thought we'd get a little bit of football in here with spring games happening over the weekend and more to come. The Brat rejoins the program. Michael Bratton. Michael, good afternoon. And I want to get to your thoughts on the spring, but I'm looking at my phone over the weekend and I see your name pop up. And the long-awaited, eagerly anticipated roast of Cousin Shane has finally appeared. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so once again, Paul, just want to say thanks for joining us in studio, but you came in. You never know what we're going to ask you, and we never know quite what you're going to say, but it was essentially an hour of you making fun of my co-host, my cousin Shane, and it was even better than last year. So, I can't believe, the whole time I'm editing it together, Paul, I'm laughing. So I knew it was going to be a big hit, and so far it's been very well received.
So this was during the SEC basketball tournament. By the way, there's a book right over, it would be your left shoulder that I'm a big fan of, and I just encourage people to buy it. All seriousness, I didn't know. I just thought, I'd never been in studio with Cousin Shane. We were in this famous place on Music Row. And Michael, I this is awkward asking about myself, but it really isn't about me. It's about Cousin Shane. How would you describe the hour we spent?
Well, I think it was a little early for him, Paul, so he was kind of half in it, half out of it. So I think that gave you a lot of cues to kind of pick apart Cousin Shane. But for anybody that doesn't know, he's slightly overweight. I think that's putting it kindly. So Paul made an easy target there and made about 50 food jokes right to Cousin Shane's face, but I was laughing the whole time. He was laughing, and even our listeners who love Cousin Shane way more than they love me, but even they got a kick out of your comments you had for him.
Okay, well, we'll move on, but it was truly fun, and I felt at one point maybe I'd overdone it because I don't want to make fun of a guy just because he looks like Cousin Shane. I found it impossible not to.
Yeah, you said after the interview, Paul, you said, I hope I didn't go too hard. I said, well, it's too late now. We've already got the thing recorded, but it is what it is. And he was a good sport about it.
Let's get to college football as opposed to myself and you, which we find more interesting, but the audience likely does not. So let's start with the prosaic, basic SEC podcast type questions that you would be asking normally, like, who do you like this spring? Who's looking good? I mean, ultimately, what's this coming football season all about?
Well, I'll answer in just a second, Paul, but I do want to take just a brief moment to congratulate Coach Calipari for being relevant during the Final Four. This is the first and only time that's ever going to happen again now that he's at Arkansas, and I have to imagine that Mitch Barnhart's got the Tyson chicken family on his Christmas card because they just saved him $33 million. So congrats there. They got Nick Saban on the recruiting trail. He's Jerry Stackhouse on the court. But to answer your question on the football field, I'm very high on Ole Miss, Paul. I've gone from saying I think the Rebels should be a college football playoff contender to I think they are a national championship contender. And that's one team that I'm very, very eager to watch this Saturday with all the new pieces they have coming together in the Grove Bowl. I think Ole Miss is one to keep your eye on.
So Ole Miss, after that, now I'm not asking for a laundry list because there are a lot of schools that could be contenders. Who else do you think is in that range? I mean, we know Georgia. We don't need to talk about that. But who other than the Rebels?
Yeah, and another one to keep your eye on, Paul, and it's comical to me to how many people hate this team now. They've had 1 year, essentially, of being relevant under their head coach, Eli Drinkwitz. But I think Missouri is in line for an even better season than what they just had. They just won 11 games, just whipped Ohio State in the bowl game. I think they may get to as many as 11 wins in the regular season, Paul. And right now, I'm kind of leaning towards Missouri representing, well, I was about to say the East, but we're not even doing the East anymore, Paul. I think it's going to be Georgia and Missouri right now in the SEC championship game.
I'll spare you where the host says, did you just say Georgia and Missouri? Because I know you said it. That is interesting. That is fascinating. I didn't hear Alabama. What's wrong? I mean, at one time you were very high on Kalen DeBoer. I mean, what has happened to you?
Well, yeah, then he started his tenure down there at Tuscaloosa, Paul. So, I mean, I think Alabama's going to be fine, but not in the regards that they're used to. I mean, I think a 9-win season would be a great debut for Kalen DeBoer's Crimson Tide, but that is that going to cut it in this 12-team playoff model? I mean, I think I've told you before, I see as many as 4 losses on the schedules.
Oh,
we're
no,
just looking
no,
at it
Brad,
here.
Let's not start this again, please.
I mean, they're not going to be competitive against Georgia, even though that's in Tuscaloosa. At Tennessee is a loss. I just talked up Missouri. They're going to beat them. And then give me at LSU. So 8-4 is probably what we're looking at, which is that's a fine debut for a coach that has no SEC experience. But I don't quite think the wheels are going to fall off, but this ain't Nick Saban's Alabama.
Larry from Shelby on line one. I mean, you just got through saying the September 28th game against Georgia is not going to be competitive.
Well, it depends on how quickly Kirby pulls his starters. So maybe I'll amend that statement. We'll see who plays in the fourth quarter. But yeah, I mean, I think Georgia will probably beat him by about 3 touchdowns down in Tuscaloosa, and that'll be the first wake-up call. I think everything will go well for Alabama the first 3 or so weeks of the season. They're all going to say this is the best hire made of the offseason, and then they're going to be trying to run him out right after Georgia comes to town.
So you're concerned about Alabama. Who else? Loaded question here. Who else are you concerned about?
Yeah, let's stay in the state there, Paul. I mean, I'm not buying into what Hugh Freeze is selling. I think Auburn – year 2 is generally when we see great coaches take a big leap with their program. He's gone heavy into high school recruiting. That would have worked 5, 6, 7 years ago, Paul, but not in the NIL transfer portal era. He's sticking with his quarterback. It's a very questionable decision, in my opinion. I think Auburn is just in for more of the same, maybe a 6-6, 7-5. And I would imagine going into year 3, Hugh Freeze's seat is going to be heating up there on the plains.
Let's get to the newbies, Oklahoma and Texas. Where do you stand on those two?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why everyone's so high on Texas, Paul. I mean, they have the highest over-under win total tied with Georgia of any team in the SEC, and I'm not buying that. I think they'll do okay, but I don't think they're anywhere near competing for the SEC championship. They'll say, well, we beat Alabama last year. Well, that was the height of the decaying dynasty right there. So I don't give you points for what you did early against last season against Alabama. More about what you did late in the season, losing to Washington. And, I just don't think Texas is going to come into this conference and dominate
Brad,
the way they think they will.
They lost to Washington on the final play of the national semifinals. Did you happen to catch that?
Yeah, but it took about 20-point rally to get to that point, Paul. I mean, they should have steamrolled that Washington team. So I'm just very dubious that Steve Sarkisian can come in here and have an elite football program. Again, they've done it once, Paul. Can they do it 8 times next season? I don't think so. But I think Oklahoma, I think they're going to be a lot better than people anticipate. I think they're going to come in ready to play, win 8 or 9 football games.
You said you were dubious of Texas. It sounds like you've been smoking a few doobies while getting ready for this appearance. Brad, before you go, and the audience just cheered, I know in Alabama, let's talk about one of your favorite subjects, Billy Napier at Florida.
Well, Paul, I mean, I truly do believe. I mean, this has got to be the year, right? He's claiming we're deeper than ever. We have more experience than ever. And I know this. Everyone wants to talk about the schedule with the Florida Gators, Paul, and yes, it is brutal, but it sets up well to get off to a hot start. Now, I'd say that, but they play Miami in the opener in Gainesville. They host Texas A&M. I believe that's week 3. You win those 2 football games, you're going to be 5-0 heading into the heart of conference play, and I think there's a real opportunity to have some momentum. Florida, they could surprise some people this year, win 6 or 7 football games, but if they lose to Miami, if they lose to Texas A&M, I mean, we got to kick Billy to the curb before October gets here. And maybe we've got an interim coach that can save this program because I just don't know. This is the year. Billy Napier's saying it, and I'm not quite sure I'm buying it. I do think they can surprise, But it's just sad that we're sitting here year three of the Florida Gators and saying six, maybe seven wins. That'd be one of the biggest surprises in all the SEC. I grew up, Florida was competing for championships. Now they're just competing for, 13th or 14th best team in the SEC.
Speaking of that, you're a Tennessee person. What about the Vols?
I think Tennessee's going to be great, Paul, of course. I mean, I think they're legitimate college football playoff contenders with Nico coming in. I think he's going to be one of the biggest breakout stars in all of college football. They've got one of the best defensive prospects for the upcoming 2025 NFL draft in James Pierce. I think Tennessee, how they've attacked the transfer portal as well to ensure that they have weapons around Nico, they've gone heavily invested in the offense and the defensive line via NIL. This is a team set up to win 10 or 11 games this year. Now, again, that Florida game, I just got done trolling Billy Napier. I mean, if you can't beat Florida, I don't know if Josh Heupel, it may be a one-hit wonder if they can't beat the Florida Gators in Neyland Stadium. That's like a game that'll define a coaching career, I really do think. And once they beat Florida, they'll turn around and smoke Alabama. But we've always thought that Tennessee was going to beat Florida in Neyland Stadium, and yet it very rarely happens.
Michael Braden trashing Auburn and Alabama. Michael, I don't know if you have an agent or not. I was thinking about leaving this industry and going into that, but I've got a couple of appearances I'd like to book you in Alabama if you're willing to sign up with me.
Yeah, can you get me a bodyguard, please?
That would come with the appearances. I think you might need more than one. Michael Braden from That SEC Podcast joining us right here. Always truly remarkable to see him. We head to the break right now. We have your phone calls, and I'm sure they'll be interesting the rest of the way.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back on a busy day. Johnny B is up next.
Hey, Paul. I'm finally recovering a little bit from this cold. I'd like to congratulate Alabama on the great season, and I heard you on the McElroy and Kubik this morning, and you've come a long way. You're now saying that the refs seem to have some influence on the game.
I thought they played a role.
from 16-minute mark to 12-minute mark, they had figured out how to defend the giant, and then they started calling things. It just appeared that their will left them. But anyway, I was proud of them. Proud of the guys, for sure. I'm proud of South Carolina and their coach, Staley, but I do not agree with her opinion that if you identify yourself as a man, you can play in girls' sports. Now, that's something that hadn't been addressed a lot today, but that's my stance on it, and I just don't see that as being a good thing for sports. But anyway, I'm thinking that when Brett called today, cousin Shane sometimes eats his food and it causes some drop in sugar levels, because some of those things he was saying today just seem to, you know, even for the brat, I think he and Griff are in the same boat with some crazy stuff. But anyway, what do you think about sports this weekend? Who do you like tonight?
I'm leaning toward UConn tonight. I think they've been the best team all year. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Scott is up next. Hello, Scott. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk with you. Just wanted to talk a little bit about Tennessee women's basketball hiring Kim Caldwell from Marshall. She's an up-and-coming rising star, probably on the lines of a Nate Oates. You know, she's won on every level she's been at. She's only lost like 31 games. And I think that, you know, cousin Shane and his crew need to get on the bandwagon there in UT, and they got something special coming. I'm a Marshall fan, but hate to see her go, but you can't deny going to, you know, the Mount Rushmore of women's college basketball.
Well, there is a lot of excitement. There are a few people wondering about the hire because of the uncertainty concerning her experience, but you're right. There's a lot of Lance Leipold, Nate Oates comparisons, people that have come from different levels and have been extraordinarily good, as well as Kaylin DeBoer. I realize all these are all different sports, but you don't have to have been at one level to be successful at the next. Lawson is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Lawson, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. I was going to ask you, what is your opinion that Arkansas Razorback baseball will win the national championship?
Yeah, I'm not the leading expert in the world on that, but if I had to pick it today, Lawson, I think the Razorbacks will do it. What about you?
I have another question. If you were the judge and you were judging how good Dave Van Horn was, what would you say?
I would say, Lawson, he's one of the elite baseball coaches in the country. Came within one bounce of winning it 6 years ago, and has come close a number of other times. And I think he is best positioned. The problem, though, Lawson, with this being early April, you don't know what's going to happen. You could have pitching problems. You could have injuries. So I would call that today. I think a lot of experts would, but you just have to be a little more deliberate in making predictions about baseball. Baseball is an unpredictable sport. Thank you very, very much for the call. I have not had too much reaction yet to Bratton. How about Patrick up next? Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Paul. So how about to give you what you want? Now, y'all got a lot of resources, a lot of money, the ESPN, do you not?
Do we have a lot of money here?
Yeah, you got you're making bank, Paul. You good,
dude? Yeah, it's a very successful company.
Yes, you nor anybody in that building believes what that man just got on the radio and said. Not one of you in the building. If you do, y'all need to find another job. Alabama with four losses, and I'm not even a huge Alabama fan. Come on, man. Ole Miss gonna win a national championship, not even a competitor against Georgia. Alabama's going to – I mean, who have they lost? They lost Caleb Downs. So what? Offensive line's going to be better. Got the same quarterback. Got the same running back. Basically got the same defense except two cornerbacks. How – show me the four losses. And this is what I want you to do. Get that man back on the show when they don't lose four games, and he needs to explain how he come up with that stupid analysis.
Well, I mean, Patrick, his analysis was, and if I remember him correctly, he predicted Alabama to lose – to
four games.
Tennessee, LSU, Georgia.
Josh Heupel couldn't lead a fat man to a free dinner, brother.
And Missouri. I don't agree with him, but I'm also saying it's not as if he just came. I mean, three of those are top 10 teams. The other one would be right outside the top 10.
Okay. Missouri had a flash in the pan. They lost a lot this year. They're not going to beat Tennessee. They have a true freshman quarterback. They have nobody else. Who else? Georgia? Okay, maybe Georgia, but it's going to be three touchdowns. Who else? Who else are they going to lose to? Who was the fourth one?
Patrick, I didn't make the prediction, so I'm not going to waste my time defending it. I don't agree with it, but that's what he said. Thank you very much for the call. How about Joey up next? Hey, Joey.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
That dude, that analyst you just had up there, has he lost his mind? Because last year, there's a lot of people lost a lot of money on him because he picked Alabama not to go nowhere. And look at it. We was in the playoff. Man, that dude is a joke. Where does he get his stuff from?
Well, he's somebody that has opinions and he shares them.
Okay, I want to tell you this. Okay. With his picks that he just picked, would you shave the rest of your hair off for it?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Wrong.
I wouldn't do anything. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. John, what's going on? You okay?
Paul, I'm fine. Just real quick here. I know I called up near the end of the hour, and you were getting ready for the break, but I was going to tell you, young man, I'm going to tell you it straight, Paul, is I don't appreciate sometimes how you talk to me, okay? And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm from Missouri and we're not cool up here. We've never been part of the quote-unquote establishment of the SEC, Paul, but I certainly don't like the way that you talk to me and make inferences that we're a bunch of hayseeds up here. Do you understand what I'm talking about, Paul? And that's why when I call up and I call you a communist, Paul, you are a communist.
You know, in 2024, to be called a communist is pretty extraordinary. I mean, that used to be something that you could call somebody a communist in the 50s. They'd come in and frog march you to jail. Anyway, thank you, John, for that eloquent call. We have a caller bracket to determine. We've been doing this now for 3 weeks. The final included Larry versus Legend. We will reveal the winner of the 2024 caller bracket right after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Another round of spring games on tap. 1 o'clock on Saturday. We've got Tennessee, LSU at 2, I should say, and Ole Miss, and then Arkansas, Florida, and Georgia at one. Big day. Okay, we've been doing this now for 3 weeks. We started with a large field. We whittled it down to two, Larry and Legend. And we have a winner in the 2024 caller bracket. It is Legend. He returns after a stunning upset, which is still under review, last year, the Cat Daddy. Legend is the champion. And he joins us now. Congratulations, Legend.
Thank you, my black cat brother. Thank you, baby. It's an honor to represent the greatest sports show in America. I appreciate all my black cat brothers and sisters out there who voted for me. It's an honor to stand here once again as the Feinbaum heavyweight champion of the world, baby, for a fourth time. I'm putting this heavyweight championship belt right up next to my mama's ashes on the mantle here, baby. Right next to mama, baby. Right next to mama.
You know, just for the record, Legend, I thought you should have won last year, too. So it should have been a three-peat.
It should have been a three-peat. Cat Daddy gave that free moonshot away. I wanted you in the final, Cat Daddy. Whoop that ass. But you got away. But I took down the woo. I think we all know who the real woo is now. Woo! But I just want to thank all my black hat brothers and sisters. I'd like to thank Handsome Joe and Squirrel, two of my black hat brothers, for supporting me, and above it all, and Trey and Susie and all my black hatters out there, baby. Especially Squirrel. He gave me some great advice after the last title that I used this year. And I appreciate Brother Squirrel, and just want to say what an honor it is to represent the Paul Feinbaum Show as the heavyweight champion for a fourth time. Page one! Not 54! Page one, baby! Woo! Page one! Right there, baby, right there. Paul, let me say this about the Alabama game. I'm proud of them, and I heard you, J.K. Won't you stick to that Miami basketball? Where was y'all? Y'all was in the CIA this year, wasn't you? In the CIA. No, that's right. You lost 9 out of your last 10 games, bum. You ain't nothing but a bum. Come on and talk about Alabama all the time. Let me tell you something. I'm proud of this team. Now, I got a message for Kentucky. You get real close, Kentucky. Get up to the speaker so you can hear this. Leave our coach the hell alone. Listen, Nate Oates, you are an Alabama man. You don't want to go to Kentucky, man. Them folks are crazy. They're crazy like us Alabama football fans, man. You don't want to go there. You said the other day that we was knocking on the door of a national championship, dude. You have brought us to the brink of greatness. Don't leave now. Keep your hands off our coach, Kentucky. Keep your hand off. Go get Billy Donovan or Drew or somebody, but keep your damn hands off our coach. The new Kentucky ain't trying to help out the old Kentucky. So you get that through your thick head. You leave Dato. Take Dato's off your lip. Now let me say this about that game. I am so damn sick and tired of watching a game all year long, spending 3, 4, 5 months invested. Hours after hours, prayer after prayer, breaking down all the statistics to get to the big game, and some weasel-ass little official want to take the game away from you. I'm so tired of it. Pat Adams, that's right, I said your name. Pat Adams, a referee, has butchered more damn games than any official in the country. It's a damn shame. I don't know what you looked at Saturday, Paul. But do you agree that the damn officials was the MVP for UConn at halftime? Would you agree with that?
I would agree completely.
It was pathetic, man. And let me tell you something. Alabama, yeah, I give UConn credit. They probably was the better team. They was the better team. I'm not stupid. And in the last 10 minutes, UConn locked down and probably would have won the game anyway. But Alabama had one path to victory. And that path of victory was to be up and have UConn under pressure going in the second half. And Alabama did every damn thing to accomplish that. to have some little weasel fat-ass referee blowing the ball out of his whistle on one end while they guarded Mark Sears like a damn kid riding his first pony ride on the other end. Hell, it looked like Jim trying to ride Secretary down there with Mark Sears with the ball or something, Paul. It was friggin' pathetic. They did, I'll tell you something else, they did UConn the same way the women. That wasn't no damn foul. When they have this one great shining moment at the end of the night where they show all the highlights, the last thing they ought to show is a damn official with the trophy raised in the air, because they've been no bigger effect on this tournament than them little weasel-ass referees that cut that game up. And it pisses me off. Pisses me off. Folks spent thousands of dollars to go out there, and they won't let the real players decide the game. It's got to be decided by some little weasel-ass referee. And it's friggin' pathetic. Do something about it, NCAA. Put these bums in school year-round and stop going down to damn Foot Locker and getting these bums to call these games. Now let me say this to the rat. I mean the brat. Listen here, rat. Nobody gives a damn what you say. You were so wrong last year, it blows a person's mind. You are pathetic, dude. You try to come on here and get a rise. Well, let me tell you the rise you get out of me. You are a friggin' rat. You are a friggin' rodent. You are a moron. You are an idiot. We ain't scared of Georgia. There ain't no damn way that Georgia's coming up in our house and beating us by any three touchdowns. We own Georgia's ass. We've been owning their ass. And when they come up in there, they're going to be trembling just like they always do when they see that crimson and white coming through the tunnel. So won't you keep your little rat nose and mouth shut and stick to what you know, which is nothing, baby, nothing. And before I get off again, thank you all my Black Hat brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for Jim, for Augie, for Jeff, for I-Man, for Larry. Listen very close. This is my yard now. Woo! This is the Black Hat. The Black Hat owns this yard. Put it down on the side and stick it in the ground, baby. This is my yard now. Y'all know your place. The title's back where it belongs. Next to Mama's urn and her ashes with her little Nick Saban picture on her urn. She loved Nick, and I put a little picture of Nick on her little urn with her ashes there right next to her. Woo! Black Hat! It's our day, baby. The championship, back where it belongs. Elvis has left the building. Pat Adams, stick that whistle up your beak!
I-Man is next.
Much ado about nothing. It sounds like he did, you know, it sounds like Brett did get a little row out of it. I mean, because he's always riled up. I mean, he's your best caller. He's your favorite caller. I mean, he's the one that kicked that little kid, that little lying kid to the curb, and his lying uncle. Oh, mercy, mercy. Oh, congratulations, legend. I mean, you've done something that nobody has ever dared to even think about accomplishing. I mean, really, in the end of it, who cares? You know, Paul, you know, legend comes on here kind of like he's Caitlin Clark, like he's jealous of her notoriety. It sounds like some of the girls in the WNBA kind of jealous of her too. And it sounds like quite a few of the college girls are jealous of all the notoriety. The little girl didn't have no fake eyelashes on. She didn't have a wig on. She just went out there and played basketball, and she schooled the hell out of all of them. She stole their thunder. If anybody stole anybody's thunder, I mean, it's her yard. And I did watch the game. I don't give a damn about South Carolina, anything in South Carolina, but Cat Daddy and who was that, Alex Murdaugh, the murderer, you know, in the low country. That's about the only two things in South Carolina that stand out. But I'm still waiting for that to change my life. It didn't change my life. But while I was watching the Caitlin Clark out there, you know, trying to change everybody's life, because she only needs so much space. Look how little space she needs. She's a little girl. But, I mean, while I was watching Caitlin Clark, I guess Larry from Shelby was watching Caitlin's dinner. Now, Paul, I mean, where are all these Bammers? Now, we heard the Legends' little testimony. Oh, they took us places we've never been before. We didn't dream. I mean, I'm so honored to have been a Bama fan. And I mean, where's all these true emotional testimonials from the losing team's fans? I mean, they got the hell beat out of them the other night. I mean, why would Legend come on here and say the referees? And see, there you are agreeing with them. I mean, you out there playing basketball, and you know that some games they let them play. And then they don't let them play, and they let them play, and they don't let them play. Them rims are loose. They loose. Listen to them rattling. They tight rims. They new rims. But the building's too big. We can't see. We got to get there 3 days early so we can focus and see. I mean, it's a basketball game. And it's over. And then UConn's going to come in and win tonight. And I'm still waiting for all these testimonials from the Bammers. I mean, they did me so proud. I can go on for the rest of my life now. And that's one thing off my bucket list. I was in my man cave with my bucket list. I don't have a man cave, and I don't have a damn bucket list. And, you know, all you social wanderers out there, you need a man cave. You need a bucket list, and you need a bucket to put on that damn head and shut your damn pie hole. And they just took me places I never dreamed of being. I mean, this is special. This is so special, Paul. This is so special. And who's gonna beat Alabama four times this year? Hell, Alabama might be lucky to win six. Might be lucky to win six. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, Paul, are you gonna get in this conversation, or are you just gonna sit over there? And I mean, I know you went out to, where did you go, to Arizona? Oh, did you see the eclipse? I mean, you know, wasn't that a wonderful thing, too? We had to travel 4,000 miles and spend $30,000 to see it to go nighttime during the day. Hell, the eclipse comes every day, people. It's called night. Sit on your back porch and watch it. It's free. You don't have to go nowhere. It happens every day, except some places in Alaska. Well, as always, Paul, War Damn Eagle, and you have a great afternoon. And then bring them testimonials in. We're waiting for them.
We'll be right back. A few minutes remaining here on a Monday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.